Okay. All right, 1 John chapter 4. Now, I cut this back so that we could just not take so long and also just cover one thing at a time instead of more than one. I was going to go through verse 6, but we're just going to go verse 4 tonight. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Now, well, who have you overcome? There's these spirits, these bad spirits, these spirits of Antichrist, all of the world. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And the thing about it is, you know, it's hard to not mention this, but now, like, next time, next week, if we're here, we'll have to go to verses 5 and 6, and it's talking about the world and the children of God, and how they're two separate people, two separate creatures, and they have different appetites, they have different everything, and they don't overcome. The children of God do. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." You see, that does away with this sin and religion. That does away with this weak Romans chapter 7 Christianity, doesn't it? How can you read this and think that the only kind of Christian, the best hope you've got is just to want to do right but never be able? We've sung songs through the years and been around people singing songs, and I told her that we ought to just get a few of them together and just sing them one night just to show you how ridiculous it is. We used to sing song. We did a little bit, but we quit doing it because we thought, man, this was a long time ago, and I was really green back then. But this was a popular song in the churches down in Mexico when we were down there, and the name of the song is, "I will always sin." Yeah, "I will always sin. Siempre pecaré." Yeah, and you know, I should have wrote it down so I could, but we may do that sometime. But that was the whole song, "I'll always sin. I'm useless. I'm hopeless. I'm miserable in this world. I don't do anything. I don't have anything good. All I do is sin." That's the words of the song. And you sing that in church and then talk about how Jesus has delivered you. From what? "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." If you're saved, if you're really saved, you've got someone living in you. There's a power on your side that's greater than this world. Now, this world, there's a great power working for evil, obviously. The influence, the pull, the temptation is great. And it's working for Satan and all of his minions. They're doing a good job at what they do, deceiving everybody and drawing everybody into their net. But you don't have to be. If you've got God, if you are of God, you can overcome them. Not only that, you will overcome them. You hear me? That's more than an option. That's a fact. "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Yes, sir. It's a battle, and we fight this battle. And it's a warfare. And sometimes we get shoved back a little, but we don't stay back. We never give up. And we never are defeated. Somehow, some way, we always overcome. Eventually. Sometimes it takes a while, but we do. We overcome. We don't go back to wallowing in the mire. And we don't go back to the vomit that made us sick of the world. "Year of God." Now, that's the insurance against being overcome and deceived by the false prophets and the spirit of Antichrist that is in this world. "If ye are a son of God," if ye are of God, "then God dwells in you, And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, what is it? Who is it that dwells in us? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God? Isn't that what the Bible says? So he dwells in you, the Holy Spirit of God. Now, do you think the devil is stronger than the Holy Spirit of God? Do you think that the world and its influence is stronger than the Holy Spirit of God? And Jesus, let me remind you how important the Holy Spirit is. He said that it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come. But if I go away, the Comforter will come. You see, Jesus said that I have to go away. It'll be better for you when I'm gone than it is right now, because the Spirit of God is going to come and dwell in you. And you're going to be way better off. Than you are right now with me right here with you. The Spirit of God. He'll guide us into all truth. He'll reprove the world of righteousness, sin and righteousness and judgment. He'll comfort us. Yeah, the Spirit of God. He's greater than the temptations of this world. He's greater than the influence, than the deceit, than all the lies, than all of the seduction of the world. The Spirit of God's greater than that. Greater is He that is in you. Now think about that. If you are saved tonight, you got something in you that'll make you an overcomer. That's right, boy. I believe that with everything I got. I believe it. Because that's what the Bible says, and that's what it teaches here. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who's in the world? Who is the god of this world? The devil. Satan. He's the god of this world. Little g. He's the one that's running this world system. He's in command of all this world system that everybody's so entangled in and so addicted to and so drawn away with. He's worked it. He's orchestrated it all in such a way that it's a snare, like Jesus said, that would come upon all men in the last days. And here we are. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how fully in control of this world that Satan gets, you can overcome as a child of God. Yes, sir. You don't have to be brought under. And you won't be brought under. This includes the devil himself and all that is at his disposal to throw against us combined. He's formidable. He's a formidable enemy. You and I are no match for him alone. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And buddy, if that applies to the normal things of life and the work of God, it applies much more to facing the devil. He's deceitful more than you and I can even imagine. He is more intelligent and clever and resourceful and he is so relentless. He never gives up. He never backs off. He never eases the pressure. You can tell him to flee you can resist him and he'll flee, but he'll be back. Yes, he will. And he'll be back soon. And so it's a battle. It's a constant battle. So you need to learn. What do we need to learn to do? We need to learn to trust in God and rely on God. And we need to learn to pray and to run to God and to cry to God for help. And He will help us. He's a very present help in time of trouble. The Lord is the strength of my life. He's my shield and my buckler and my deliverer. See? That's the way it is. Some trust in horses and some in chariots, but we'll trust in the Lord, our God. And that's the only way we can keep the devil from defeating us. He must own us. God does. He must be the Lord and the King of our heart and life. We are of God. God will not be in us, and we can't be of God unless He owns us. Ain't that right? God don't rent. He owns. That's right. He ain't moving into no place that ain't His. And when it's His for keeps. So ye are of God, are ye tonight? Are ye of God? Once you get that settled, boy, the way is much more clear ahead of you. You know what the thing is all about. Once you get that thing settled and you quit fighting over whether you are yours or God, or you are God's. Whether you're going to control everything or whether God's going to control everything and call the shots of your life. Once you get that settled, then you can start to understand things. But you're never going to understand anything until you get that settled. Do y'all understand that? And believe me, that is the truth. Now, I know that from experience. I know it from watching people all through the years. And you can't get any understanding until you surrender your life to the Lord. And you become His. Then the light's on. The lights come on. And you can see. Well, I was blind, but now I see. See? John Newton said. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't understand what's going on. He don't know what this thing's all about. But once you get that settled, then you can begin to see that this is a warfare. And it's no wonder that the Bible refers to us as soldiers. And fight the good fight of faith. And look at it like that. Because this, we're in a world where there's good and evil. And there is a major war going on. And you've jumped in on one side. You switch sides is what you've done when you get saved. You get off of the devil's side and you come to the good side. Now he says here, and I have overcome them. It is spoken there in past tense, see, have overcome them, like it's already happened. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them. It's that reinforces the certainty of the fact. It's not something that's going to happen, might happen, still yet to happen. It has already happened. If you are of God, you've overcome them. You've overcome them. It all happens in one deal. And I can understand that. I can look on my own experience and read that, and I see that in my own experience. I see that when the things I struggled with in this world, the things that I clung to and thought I could never live without or do without, thought that I couldn't live my life without that kind of thinking, without those habits, without that kind of life. When I gave my heart to God, it all that turned away too. I lost my desire for all that. It vanished. And I didn't want that anymore. If you are of God, you have overcome them. You're not going to overcome them. You have overcome them. If you are of God, you're going to understand the truth. Now that's the way I see what this is saying here. You ain't going to believe lies if you've overcome them, those false prophets and those false spirits, those evil spirits masquerading as spirits of God and righteousness and truth. You'll recognize them if you're of God, because there's something in you that's greater than all of that. There's something in you. And boy, you know, that's something that thrills my soul, because all through the years, you know, there's been things and people that I just wasn't at ease with. And I couldn't tell you why. I just didn't, you know, I couldn't find a fault with them. I couldn't find an accusation against them if I tried. But I just never was easy. And I don't know how many times through the years that down the road it showed up. Why? Yeah. There's other things that I can take. Just doctrines and beliefs that never, something just wasn't, I never could embrace it because it just didn't ring true. And I was not convinced. And I found out why. And you know what that is? You know what I really believe that is the Spirit of God in you. There's a lot of things that you can't understand. You can't understand everything all at once. I mean, you don't have to understand everything to get saved. But as you go and grow in the Lord and understand and sanctification and all and learning and growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you do increase. And you do start learning things that you didn't know before. And it takes time. And there's things, you know, listen to me, I'm not rambling. I'm just trying to say this in a way where you can really get a hold of it. There's things that I wasn't ready for 20 years ago. My mind wasn't ready. The ground wasn't ready for me to understand. And I can look back, man, I've got sermon notes from 30 years ago, plus more than 30 years ago. And I can go back in those and I can see that I understood the very basic things about some mighty important things. But I really didn't have a grasp on it. And there were some things that I avoided back then just because the Spirit of God watched over me. That's all. And as time has passed, then I've learned and God have been able to grasp it and embrace things that are true because God brought me along and taught me little by little and line upon line until I came to the place where I could get a hold of it. And all through all of that, I can see, you know, hindsight is better than foresight, and that's the way it is in spiritual matters too. I mean, you, in this learning process and all, and when you look back, you can see where God's brought you from and how He guided you and avoided this and avoided that and pulled you out of this mess. And I look at some messes that I know of today and I think, boy, man, only by God's mercy and grace, I ain't in the middle of all of that. How in the world come I didn't end up thinking like they do and believing like they do and being in such a mess. Spirit of God. It's the difference. The Spirit of God. Greater is He that is in you. Nothing can be formed against us that can prosper if God is really in us. You know, He told Israel, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. That scripture, that truth applies to us as well. The devil can bring any weapon he wants to against a real child of God. And when the smoke clears, the child of God is going to be standing. Yes, sir. And I believe that. These people can't get a hold of this idea of eternal security. They think that once saved, always saved means you just pray this prayer and you're saved forever and it don't matter what. No, I don't believe that at all. I don't believe sinners are going to be in heaven. But I do believe that when you're saved, you're saved. And the difference is, you go on. The ones who are saved are the ones who are going to be overcomers. And all you got to do is look around and see how many overcomers there are. And that ought to tell you there's few that find it. Very few. Very few people I've known in the years I've been saved that stuck through it, but in made it. No matter what happened, they pressed on. Very few. I know very few. But I know a few. I know a few. That, I mean, all hell has been brought against them. And they just, I mean, just as steady as they ever was. That's God. I know some others that fell out of the saddle over the puniest little things that you ever heard of. And a lot of it's just made up junk. And they quit. And think they're justified in quitting. No, you ain't never justified in quitting on God. It just proves that you never were of God. That's what I believe. Yes, sir. Once you're of God, you ain't going to be overcome. Is that too hard for you to understand? When God moves in you, the greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, how are you going to defeat God in you? And if God be for us, who can be against us? And what shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing. I mean, we could go down that list. Nothing. Nothing's going to separate us from. It's just that you got to really get saved. And you know, they've cheapened it down to this little prayer you pray, or just agree to, or raising your hand in a service, and that's salvation. No, it ain't. And no wonder they're confused about this matter. I'm preaching to you tonight what all the old-time preachers used to preach. Get the books and read them and see if that ain't what they preached. Yes, sir. It's been a doctrine of the church for centuries and more than that. But that's the difference between a superficial professor and a genuine believer. The believer continues. He perseveres. He goes on. It's called the perseverance of the saints. They don't quit because they got something in them that keeps them going. It ain't works. We ain't doing this. It ain't of my own power. I'm kept by the power of God. It's real. And that's how you make it. Well, I got a few more things to say here. But no trial will be too severe for us to endure and win the victory. If we are of God. And no loss will be more than we can bear. Don't mean we won't grieve, and it don't mean we won't hurt, and it don't mean that we might be whooped down sometimes, but we will go on. Loss of loved ones, loss of possessions, loss of friends, loss of health. We can look in the Old Testament at Job, and Job didn't have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in him. And he did. He overcame all of that. And stayed faithful. Without what we have. Without the new covenant. Without the comforter. Without anything like that. And he stuck it out. The devil couldn't. It took away everything he had. Took away all of his children. Took away all of his wealth. Took away his health. And Job still said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And we can't do that. I mean, people argue with what I'm saying here tonight, what I'm reading to you out of the Bible.
Oh, it's just so tough. I mean, you just can't hardly do it. I mean, and it ain't no wonder that people can't make it. It's so hard.
So hard. What about the Holy Ghost? And what about the grace of God? Is it real to you? No amount of pain will drive us to turn away from God. Physical pain or pain of your soul. You can hurt a lot worse in your heart than you can hurt in your body. But it won't turn you away from God if you're His. There is comfort for those who belong to God. I know that's fact. I know that's true. I know it because God has done that for me. When nobody else could. When nothing else could. God has done it. Just like a miracle, just out of nowhere, just spoke peace to my soul. And didn't do anything for me. I mean, didn't do anything physical for me. Didn't send a vision or anything like that. Just calmed my soul. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. The evidence is that those that have to live under these burdens, they grow sweeter in the Lord. The sweetest people, the sweetest Christians that you'll ever meet have been through the hardest things. Every single time. Every single Christian that you meet that has the sweeter their spirit, I guarantee you, the harder their trials have been. And the worst their adversity has been that they've had to deal with. It makes you sweet, not bitter, if you're a child of God. Now, if you're not of God, it's going to make you bitter. Nay, no, there's no other explanation for bitter people. They're not of God. God comforts you, no matter what happens. And there's plenty of evidence of that. No persecution from others will cause us to abandon God. being shunned and falsely accused won't make you turn away from God. When people forsake you, why should you forsake God? Psalmist said, though, when my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. He trusted in the Lord. If his mother and father forsook him. So that ain't going to turn us away from him. No temptation to sin will be too much for us if we're of God. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. No false prophet will be so charming that he can lead us away from God. And no lie will be so convincing as to deceive us into following a path that leads us away from God and into darkness. Apostates were never saved. Well, that's the way I think about it. People that say, and I've known preachers that have preached. It's been that way through all the centuries. One of the great infidels of the 1900s was an evangelist. He went around preaching and holding revival meetings and everything and turned into an infidel. Say, well, there's one right there. I mean, if anybody's ever saved, he was. What do you think saved means? What are you talking about? How do you know if somebody's saved? They continue. They overcome. They don't get bitter because of the things that happened to them. They make it through. God brings them through it. And they sail on and on and on. That's how you know. It ain't by their verbal testimony. Yes, I accepted the Lord when I was 13 years old or whatever. That ain't proof of salvation. Anybody can say that. How do you know if somebody's saved? They keep going. They don't give up. And somehow, some way, they always rise from the wreck again. They do. From the wreck I rise. Remember that as a poem or something? God's watching over us, and He'll work for us in every situation. He'll give patience and wisdom and strength and grace as it is needed. He does. He will. And He does. And if necessary, God will providentially intervene on our behalf. I can show you all through the Bible where He did that for people. He's done it for me too. He's done it for you probably here tonight, even if you don't know about it. But God will providentially intervene if necessary. You ain't going to fall. He is able to make you stand. And He does. How you get around all them verses? How do these quitters explain all these verses that's in the Bible about it? You got to ignore them, don't you? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And have overcome them because God is greater than the devil and all his hosts combined. And there's not even the slightest danger that the devil can prevail over God. Jesus said that we are in his hand and he is in the Father's hand. Now, how's the devil going to get you? Huh? Unless you're keeping yourself. Now, if you're trusting in yourself and your ability to be faithful and to hang on and to do good works and all that, if you're trusting in you, then he can get you. Because if you're trusting in yourself, you're not trusting in Jesus and you're not saved. That's the way it is. I mean, you got to cast it all upon Him. And when you do, you become His. But if you're still relying on yourself, then that there's not even the slightest chance that the devil can prevail over God. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17 in his high priestly prayer. That was it, boy. He prayed for us. And he prayed about keeping us. And he's not going to let the devil get us. That is security. That's safety. That's assurance. Year of God. That's the key. Year of God. Are you? If ye are of God, if you belong to God, if God owns your life, if your will is surrendered to God, and God has the authority over your life, if He really, really does, and you are submitted to Him, and you're willing to do whatever God says, or willing to not do whatever God says not to do, you know, then you can be His. But otherwise, no, not as long as you're holding out. Holding out. Keeping God at a distance. You ain't got no claim to all this. And you ain't going to make it. I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. The world is going to get you. You're going to be. You are one of them right now. And you are going to go their way. You're going to follow them right off into hell. Yeah. And ain't no telling what will happen to your life before you drop off into hell. You better get in the safe place where God, under the shadow of His wing, under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a safe place to be. Good place to be. Nothing can get you there. That's why you don't fear. That's why you don't fear when you're saved. That's why the fearful are going to hell. They don't trust God. They're afraid of everything. They don't think He'll take care of them. Don't think He can. It's all up to them. When you trust God, you don't fear. God will take care of me. Until He takes me home. That's faith. I mean, that's what this whole thing, I mean, don't you see? This is how it is. You belong to Him. The devil only has power to deceive and destroy in the hearts and minds of people who are not of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. Listen real close to what this verse says. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. It's talking about, the verse before is talking about lost people, unsaved people of the world, that God would give them repentance so that they could deliver themselves, recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Okay, so who can the devil take captive? At his will, at his will, whenever he wants to. He can just set it, just like the little mousetrap, just set it out there and here you go, and they'll go for it every time. That's what you're like. If you're not of God, the world, the devil can just put whatever it is that makes you salivate at the things of the world. Whatever it is you love that this world's got. Yeah. How many things are there? Endless, infinite amount of things. But he can just throw it out there and say, here, come and get it. And you'll come and get it. Child of God won't do that. Child of God is not ignorant of his devices. But the devil can take the child of the world captive at his will. Anytime he wants to. All he's got to do is just say, here, 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 boy. And there you go. Goes right to him. Right into the trap. We set a trap sometimes. Got a live trap. Sometimes we get possums coming around. Sometimes we get coons coming around and they start getting in chickens. Put a trap out there, we'll get him. Get him every time. All you got to do is just put some tuna fish or some real nasty stinking stuff in there and he'll go for it every time. Cat food, he'll go in there after. The devil's that way with people who are not of God. You're of God, you're safe. You got some understanding. You have overcome them. Because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. At the mention of Jesus, the devil flees. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. James 4, 7. So all you have to do is simply resist him if you're of God. You with me now? If you're of the world, you're not of God, he's going to get you. You ain't smart enough. You ain't clever enough. You ain't strong enough in your will or body to resist him. He can just get you easy. You're just nothing to him. If you're of God, you can resist him. And he'll flee. Just say no. I mean, it's okay. Sometimes, like Brother Earl said, he was coming home from a meeting and the devil got in the car with him. Said the devil was just telling him, you low down thing. Them people don't like you. Then they was probably talking about you right now. And this went on and on. He said, finally, he just pulled the car off the side of the road, got out, went around the other side, opened the door and said, get out of my car, devil. You ain't welcome to ride with me. He said he slammed the door and got in and went on down the road without the devil. You say, that's funny. No, that's right. That's how. That's what you got to do. Resist him. Just say, no. Get thee hence, Satan. Resist him, and he'll flee from you. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God first. See? You got to be submitted to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Remember those seven brothers who decided they were going to cast out devils like Paul was doing, you know? What happened to them? Well, they got the living daylights beat out of them. Because they thought they could just do anything. The devil said, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you? And they commenced to whooping them. They didn't get the job done. They weren't submitted to God. They was going to do it themselves. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's James chapter 4, verse 7. Neither give place to the devil. Ephesians 4, 27. If God dwells in you of a truth, then there's no place for the devil to set up his camp. Don't make a place for him. Don't make a bed. Don't make a room. Don't set a place at the table for the devil in your life, in your mind. Don't give a place for him to come in. Don't leave the door open for him. Don't leave the light on for him. Don't make him welcome. Watch for him, and if he shows up, kick him out. And you'll be okay. You can do that, and you'll be okay. But we can't kick back and take it easy and just let God take care of us. That's not what I'm saying to you tonight. Now, I ain't preached that to you, have I? That, boy, we're all saved. Like Joel Osteen tells everybody, you know, you're greater than you think, and you're going to make it, and you need to be all you can be, and you are wonderful. You are great. Is that what I preach to you tonight? No, if you're of God, you got something going for you that the world don't have, though. But we can't just kick back and take it easy and say, well, God's taking care of me. I ain't got a thing to worry about. Oh, yes, you do, too. You better be a-worrying. Devil can work you over. And yes, sir, he will. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. See? The devil's after them, and he's after us. He's after. He ain't going to leave you alone just because you belong to God. He's coming after you to try to destroy you. And he can, boy, listen, you better resist him. You know what happens a lot of times? People that are saved, the devil gets their kids. Sometimes a husband's saved and a wife, he thinks she is, and the devil gets her. Or vice versa. Homes are broken, children, lives are wrecked and everything else. And the devil moved in and this roaring lion come in to seek and who he might devour. And he did it. Don't just sit back and say, well, I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. And it ain't nothing. I'm eternally secure and nothing to worry about. And the devil can't get me. He can get your kids. He might get your wife. He might get your husband. He can sure make you hurt. You better resist him. He may not overcome you, but he can sure do you damage. Better not take it lightly. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. See, we're not supposed to just kick back and say, God's got this. No way. Fight. Fight. Prepare. Put on your armor. Be vigilant. Be sober and watch. Look for him. Don't let these people shame you and put you down. You're just seeing evil and everything. No, you better start watching. It's everywhere. And you better guard your house. And you better guard your mind. You better guard your children. And your marriage and everything else. You better guard it. Because man, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. So he can get an advantage of us. Yeah. He may not destroy us, our soul, but man, he could destroy our life and our effectiveness and our ability to accomplish anything by destroying our family, our testimony. And he knows how to do it, and he's got a plan to do it. You know, you ought to think about that. I've thought about that before. I wonder if I could see the devil's plan that he's got wrote up for me. Would I want to see that? He's got a plan, and he's working it. Am I going to be the dummy that just stumbles along, you know, playing games and fooling around and living the life of Riley, and while he's working to destroy everything about me to make me unfruitful for God and ruin my life? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices, 2 Corinthians 2:11. The victory we're promised in particular here is victory over lying spirits and lying prophets. The Spirit of God will guide us into all truth, if he truly dwells in us, because Jesus said so in John chapter 16, verse 13. He said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Wow. The truth will make us free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John chapter 8 and verse 32. Free from what? Free from the powers of the devil and the world. Free from the power of lies and everything else that's formed against us to turn us away from God. You know the truth, and you recognize lies when you hear them. And if you don't recognize it and say, "That's a lie," there's something don't ring right about it. It's like what I was talking about a while ago. I've heard things in the past and everybody else said, "Oh, hallelujah, amen," others. But my heart said, You know, I've been in meetings and everybody else got all excited and run around the church and jumped over the pews and run outside and tripped over the tent pegs and everything. And in my soul, I just sit there thinking, you know, didn't make me want to do that. Didn't make me excited. And I thought, something ain't right about this. Yeah. Y'all ever felt that way? We used to hear, like, they always playing here before church, that screaming goat. I've heard people in church scream like that goat does. And everybody else just thought it was hallelujah, wonderful, God's meeting with us. And I thought, no, there's a devil in this place. What I felt, what I thought, and I was right. Yeah. Truth makes you recognize error. You've all heard it 1,000 times, but how do they teach the people in the bank to recognize counterfeit money? Show them all the different counterfeit monies that they've found in the past? Is that what they do? No, they know, they study the real money. And when they get a counterfeit, they can tell, they just know it. By the feel, by the sense, there's so many things. They know the true ones so well that when they see a phony, they know it. That's how you know, that's how you have spiritual discernment too. You know the truth, and the truth makes you free. Free from the lies of the world and their influence. You're not easily deceived like that anymore. Lie to the world, boy, they'll believe it, don't they? Look at the politics. Look at what all's going on. Man, they believe anything, won't they? Real easy. Anything but the truth. Oh, let me hurry up here. The only way a person who knows God could be turned away from God is to be made to believe something false about God. And this is the sum of the devil's battle plan against every person that ever lived. He wants you to believe a lie about God. Isn't that what the devil did in the garden with Eve? She said, well, his first thing was, "Yea, hath God said." And somehow he made Eve think that God didn't really, maybe He didn't really say that or didn't really mean that. He muddled her mind. She was deceived. The woman being in the transgression was deceived. About what? About God. That's the devil's plan. Get you to think something about God that ain't right. And when you do, that's what ruins you. When God's misrepresented and lied about and people believe it, the devil has won the only battle that he's able to win. A true child of God has the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, living in him, and therefore has a power greater than anything in this world. And that makes him an overcomer. I want to read you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines here. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. Does that say, to him that professed, made a profession of faith, I'll give to eat of the tree of life? Is that what it said? Who gets to eat of the tree of life? The overcomer. Who's the promise to? The overcomer. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Now you all know what the second death is. That's being cast into the lake of fire where the false prophet and the beast are forever and ever. Who's going to avoid that? Those who overcome. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Revelation chapter 3 verse 12. Does that say all, everybody's on the church roll of the churches will be made pillars? Is that what it said? No. Everybody's been baptized by immersion, by a Baptist preacher, or a Church of Christ preacher, or whatever, that's what they would say. Or in Jesus' name only, that's what they would say. Is that the way it is? No. Who's going to be made a pillar in the temple of God? Those who overcome. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Revelation chapter 3 verse 21. Who's going to sit with Jesus in his throne? Those who overcome. And how can you overcome? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Every time. Always. Nobody's going to be in heaven that didn't overcome. Now, that ought to sober you up right now. Right. Say, well, I'm this weak and I just don't understand and, you know, I just... No. One more. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Now, who's going to inherit all things? And I will be his God and he shall be my son. Revelation 21:7, boy, it's getting close to the end of the book right there. And who's going to inherit all things and be the son? Him that overcometh. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Are you? Are you one of them tonight? Say, well, I'm not perfect. Well, neither am I in that sense. Are you fighting the battle? That's the question here tonight. Are you in this or are you one of these AWOL jokers that's a coward and a chicken and won't fight? Is that why you won't get in? It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight, not a game. Yep, you've got to enter into battle. And it takes some grit. I think a lot of people know that, and that's why they won't get in. They don't want to fight. They don't want this. They don't want to have to do this. Amen. Overcomers. That's who the promises are to. And everybody that's born of God is an overcomer. That don't mean that you win every battle. It don't mean that you're the hero of the faith. It doesn't mean that. But it means that you keep it going. Here's what it's like. Seth was reading to me the other day, Sunday. We were at home talking, and he's reading to me this story about this soldier. Was it in World War I? World War II. He was a clerk, a store clerk, from Indiana or Ohio up there somewhere. He was in a battle over there, and he was with his little group of men. There's 12, 14 of them, and they got surrounded and ambushed by a bunch of Germans. And they shot his leg off at his knee. And they had him pinned down, and they had machine guns and cannons, and I mean, they was pounding him. They was going to kill him. They was outnumbered 4-1 or better. But he was done, and he knew he was whooped, but he stood up on his one knee and his stub of his other knee, and he went toward him. I mean, he walked right toward him on his stub of shooting and wouldn't give up. And he kept killing. At one point, he had to stop and reload his weapon. And they was trying to shoot him, and they couldn't get him. And he killed a bunch of them before they put him down. Now, you see, how is this? Are you fighting that way spiritually? I mean, do you have that much in you to stand against evil and the devil and all that's coming against you? Do you stand and fight, or you just wimp out and wilt and fold up? No, that's honorable. They gave him the Congressional Medal of Honor posthumously, you know, after he was dead. But he was just a store clerk from Ohio, fighting for his country and fighting the enemy and going to do everything he could. He didn't die cowering on the ground. He died fighting. And if I'm going to go down, I want to go down fighting. They've burned Christians through the centuries at stake. I mean, they've burned them on stakes. They've done all kinds of horrible things to them. And they died. Have you ever read about some of the martyrs? They didn't die cowering. They didn't die defeated. They died in victory. And the deaths of the martyrs were the things that caused a lot of the people that were putting them to death to be saved. Fight the good fight. You can do it because there's somebody in you that gives you the strength to do it and to overcome. We can overcome because He lives in us. Not any other reason. There's none of us strong enough, none of us smart enough, none of us determined enough to overcome this world in our own strength. Nope. It's God in us that makes us do it. It's Christ in you is the hope of glory. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's Christ that liveth in me. That's how come I can be an overcomer, and that's how come you can be an overcomer. You can overcome this world. You can say no. You can live above it. Yes, sir. You can live for God in this wicked day. You can. Amen. Well, let's stand now. Ain't you glad I cut them other two verses out and didn't preach on them too? Bow with me and we'll pray. Father, thank You for Your Word, and thank You for these wonderful truths that we need to hear once in a while. Lord, this has helped me. I hope it helps somebody else. But I believe it's the truth. I know it is. And I know that You've been faithful up to now in my life in this matter. And You brought me through some impossible places where there is no way that I could have made it if You hadn't took me under Your hand and helped me through. And Lord, I know You can do that for everybody that's here tonight if they'll just yield their life to You and belong to You, and I pray they would. I pray, Lord, that we could know that everybody here is one of Yours and that they're going to make it and that we will all get to heaven someday. We'll be able to sing around the throne and rejoice in the victory. But Lord, we ought to be tasting of it now. And we ought to be fighting these battles now in Your power and in Your strength. Help us, Lord, as we go out of here tonight. Pray You'd give us strength for the day tomorrow. And help us in the things we have to face. No telling what's ahead of us. Lord, if we knew, we'd faint. Some of us would. And so, Lord, I pray that You'd help us in the trials of our lives that are to come, and help us to remember these things here tonight, that if we're of God, we'll make it through. Somehow, some way, there will be a way. and you'll make sure of it. That's your promise to us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. You'd be with us always. Help us get home now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.